Good morning. We'd like to welcome everyone to this morning's study session, May City Council for Thursday. What is today? September 29th, 2011. Gee, where'd it go? First item on our agenda is to review the agenda for next Monday night's regular council meeting. Pretty short agenda. Okay. Page 2, items 3A through 4A. Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, I have an item. I have a question on item 4A.
4A, centrifuge parts.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And then Dr. Sorensen can come up and talk about make it worthwhile for getting up so early.
The nuclear reactor we're putting in?
Oh. No, my question was, because we're buying new parts, I don't understand the high $180,000 maintenance cost. So is that like for the whole system, the maintenance, or still those two new blowers or whatever? Vice Mayor, thank you.
Sorry. Excuse me.
That's okay.
Excuse me. I'm having a rough day this morning already. Yes, Councilwoman Higgins. Good morning. Actually, the service is not $180,000. The service is the $50,000. What we're doing is we often have to go back and buy centrifuge parts. So instead of having to come to council every time we do that, which we've been doing kind of frequently, we tried to combine it all into one contract and guess at what our annual needs would be.
Okay.
So that we don't have to keep coming back to you for each and every part.
So this is ongoing other parts,
yes.
Not for these two new engines or centrifuges we're buying.
Yes, correct.
You have lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
That's why you're.
And in fact, we managed to negotiate a discount both on service and on parts off of the list price.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
So you have lots of stuff. That's a technical term.
It is. It's like gizmos. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, stuff and gizmos. Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, from doctors.
Okay. Items 4B through 5B. Councilmember Higgins.
Item 4C, Mayor. I wondered, it's talking about our new CNG, or compressed natural gas facility, if Frank could give us a little update, because it's very cool, and it's like we are leading the way. So I just wanted to share, or have him share with us.
Good morning. This project is going to be extending our high-pressure gas system to Waste Management Santan Transfer Station. So this allow them to convert their fleet from diesel to compressed natural gas vehicles. Over the next 5 years, they'll be continually increasing their fleet to the point where at some point in time in that future, they'll be probably close to our largest customer. They'll be one of our top two or three customers. And so pretty excited about it. It's going to give us an opportunity to understand the technology and the cost of operation. And so we'll be sharing that with the fleet and solid waste as well.
Councilmember Fender.
So it's about an $800,000 expenditure, five-year return on that to get to profitability. Is that how it works?
The economics are we also have some pipe that we bought and was approved in a prior council meeting. So that's a little bit over $1 million total costs. We've allocated about $700,000 to waste management for this project. The other amount is for allowing us to accelerate the master plan facilities in the area. We've executed an agreement that allows us to make sure we recover those costs that are allocated to waste management within that five-year period of time. With the bond funding, where we spread those costs out over the 20 years, comparing that to the anticipated and guaranteed revenues, we'll net about $400,000 within 5 years.
Thank you.
And do you foresee other people being able to, you know, extend it to other businesses out in the Gateway area?
They do have accommodations in their design to have a public fueling station. The fill rates may not be such that other large vehicles can do it, but certainly passenger vehicles and maybe shuttle vans, et cetera, can fill up at that location.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I got a question on 4B that I thought is Corinne here. Oh, you are. Thank you. You know, this is pretty exciting because this is a pretty big project. My main question comes down to the matching grants from the state of Arizona. This came up during the discussion at a Gateway, and while this project isn't a Gateway, it's still the same program where you have a 95% funded by the FAA out of the out of their improvement program with matching 5% split between the city or the airport and the state of Arizona. And the question is, with the state of Arizona and what they've done to their budget and what they've done to the Aviation Trust Fund and everything, is that assured? How are they doing that? How are we funding that? How are these grants work coming through from the state of Arizona?
Okay. Mayor, that's a really good question.
Thank you.
you always have good questions.
Because the vice mayor said that's a dumb question.
Oh, really? Oh, well, you're welcome.
You win.
The state grant for the local matches for the projects is pretty much a given, especially this year since the legislature chose not to completely raid the Aviation Trust Fund. There are actually enough.
We like to say reposition the aviation
reposition,
fund.
Yeah, okay. That's more politically correct, yes. To reposition the trust funds, and so there is funding available from the state for this local match.
Okay, because I knew in previous years with the sweeps and the raise that there were projects that were we basically didn't do because we couldn't assure. There was just no money, or if there was, we didn't know if they were going to be there. But
that's
you
correct.
Say that situation has settled down and changed.
Yes, it has.
Good. Okay. That's what I mainly wanted to know about.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else on page 3? Yeah. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
I have a question on 5B. Heather is here. Or somebody from Library. Thank you. Good morning. It's kind of a related question since this issue involves our relationship with Maricopa County, and I'm just wondering if there are any additional discussions ongoing now that there's new management at Maricopa County Library District on the issue of the revenue allocations between the city and Maricopa County. Maybe an unfair question for you. Or
yeah,
if,
it is.
If,
yes, it is.
Yeah, but my question was good. Yours is unfair, so there.
Yeah, there you go. But probably more directly addressed by Mr. Butler.
Well, go ahead, Kate, if you have something. I don't know if Mr. Butler's here, but go ahead.
Councilmember Kavanaugh, I can't answer your question. I know that we have had another. This amendment actually adds a little more to what the county is doing with us or for us, how they're working on the way they distribute some of the tax funds, I can't tell you, but apparently we don't have anybody here
so
who can.
That's a question that's been dealt with by the region, and I think Mr. Butler would probably be the best one to respond to that, because I know there were some cities that were interested in addressing it even legislatively if necessary.
Right, and the reason I asked the question
is... Oh, and on cue, Mr. Butler walks in the door. Scott?
Yeah, well, and the reason...
You're on. So if you just answered the question we just asked, because I'm sure you were fully in tune with
it. I'll give you a hint. The library is sitting next to you, so you guess what the question's about.
So I can restate my question. This issue on our agenda, again, relates to the relationship between Mesa Community College... Maricopa Library District and the City of Mesa with respect to benefits or services we may get in working with them. And recently, the director of the Maricopa County Library District retired, and I know that policies and philosophies from that management created challenges for cities in terms of revenue allocation, because we all know Mesa is a big donor city. And basically, Mesa residents have paid for libraries in several other communities. And so I'm wondering if the change in management at the County Library District will lead to perhaps more positive discussions with the county on a more equitable distribution of the funds that Mesa residents pay to the county district, or is this something that still will need to be pursued on a legislative basis so that, again, we can return more Mesa residents' money to our library staff for services at our libraries.
Sure. Mayor and Councilmember Kavanaugh, you're right. The former director, the recently retired director, was one of the most strident defenders of their policy and the lack of resource sharing with the local communities. And so we're hopeful that the change can bring a new attitude to the library district to want to partner with the cities who are actually supplying the money that they use to run the district. As I understand it, the replacement is someone who's been involved in the district in the past, so I'm not sure exactly. I don't think any of the cities have yet been able to get an idea of how the new director views this relationship, but we're also hopeful that the Board of Supervisors that ultimately set the policy and the direction would realize that this is something that could be a win-win for the communities. Obviously, Gilbert's going through a healthy discussion right now about the relationship between their town and the library district, and it's exposed some of the concerns that we've all shared about the way that these funds are distributed or not distributed in our case between the district and the city. So it's still a work in progress, and we're hopeful that some intervention from the supervisors might be able to help make this an issue that we don't have to go down to the legislature. That's always an option of last resort that we'd rather not do. But to this point, we still have not received a very welcoming view from the library district about looking at alternative ways to share these resources with the city libraries.
Thank you. No more unfair questions.
Yeah.
Well, if I might piggyback on that a little bit. Gilbert, since Gilbert is rethinking things, we opened Mel, the Mesa Express Library, on May 17th, and I just want to give you a little
update. I understand
update.
It's doing far beyond anyone's expectations.
It is doing wonderfully. Our target for in-house visits for the year was 15,000. As of yesterday, we already hit 17,000 visits. Our circulation is 125% of our target, so we're circulating a lot. The one thing that we're just a little low on is issuing cards, and I've challenged those folks down there to get busy and haul people in. I think during the winter, we will be exceeding our target for issuing cards in that area. It's about 4,000 visits every month with 10,000 circulations a month. So it is really doing the job that we were expecting, and we're pulling some people from Red Mountain, but we're also bringing people up from south of the location, which is where we were aiming for. So,
great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mayor and Council, what that means is families that were possibly, most likely, not going to Red Mountain because of living on that side of the freeway, were probably going to the
Southeast Regional
County/Gilbert Library, and as a result, they get additional funding as individuals from our city go to other libraries. And so reversing that stream and providing that service more accessible has really been a benefit and a service to that part of the community. So.
Correct. Most of the people who come in who say anything are like, thank you so much for being here. This really is a great location. I've been waiting for you to come down here. So.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor.
And for the record, there is no such thing as an unfair question to Scott Beller.
So. Oh, I forgot. That's true. That's an ordinance.
That's right. Okay. 6A through 8A. Mr. Brady, could you just give us a brief overview, not of the details, because I know we're going to go through that in executive session, but just the process, where we are on the memorandums of understanding on 6A and 6B.
So this year... Well, this is the second year of discussion that the city has had with the Mesa Firefighters Association. These discussions on a memorandum of understanding began really almost a year ago, discussing a variety of issues concerning firefighters, both related to compensation, related to processing of discipline and other matters. We've been able to come to a resolution and agreement on that memorandum of understanding. With the firefighters in the past 2 years, they had a 2-year agreement. The fire association made a determination that it was important for them to continue to receive step pay during the time that was not available to the rest of the employees, but they also provided concessions in the form of different types of holiday pay, and different types of leave, as well as their clothing allowance. So they gave up those benefits, reduced those benefits, and those then were then converted to step pay during the past 2 fiscal years. And so that will continue through this next fiscal year. Will be the second merit pay they'll receive, again, as a result of the concessions that they agreed to. For The Police Association is a very similar agreement. You'll find that they look very similar. There are some things that are specific to each one of the associations that are in there. But I think generally the larger terms as far as how we're dealing with them overall and their dealing with management and trying to develop processes and formalize processes to have discussions about matters related to disciplinary matters, they're all fairly consistent within each one of them. For the this is the first year that we'll be entering into a memorandum of understanding with the Mesa Police Association. We've had some very good discussions. We're setting up some committees and discussions that will take place during the time of the agreements to continue having discussions with them and the chief's office and the city manager's office, again, related to processes and issues that may be related to processing of discipline and matters of personnel. We've also committed to both groups, as we mentioned to council back in, I think it was August or 1st of September, that is, if we've the identified savings and the personnel services category related to benefits that we're will be making recommendations to council regarding those savings and how they would apply to compensation, and both understand that those would result possibly in some adjustments if council approved that beginning in January, and that would apply to both groups equally at that time.
Okay, thank you. Anything else on 6A through 8A? Okay. Next here, a presentation on the light rail business assistance, a public-private partnership. I like that title.
Good morning, Mayor, Council. My name is Shea Yoakum. I'm a project manager in the Office of Economic Development here at the City of Mesa. I'm joined this morning by Frank McRae, the Energy Resources Director here at the City, as well as Terry Bonelli, the Executive Director of Mesa Neighborhood Economic Development Corporation, or Mesa NEDCO. We're excited to be here this morning to present and discuss the details of a mutually beneficial public-private partnership. Just like to take a brief moment to acknowledge Council's strategic initiatives and the underlying challenge presented to staff to implement those initiatives. We feel this partnership or this project falls in line with the Economic Development Strategic Initiative and addresses or supports some of the items identified here on the slide that were specifically called out by Council in their most recent strategic planning session. The opportunity for this partnership was created through a combination of factors. The city is eagerly awaiting the arrival of light rail transit into Central Mesa. And believe it or not, the early utility relocation work for that project is scheduled to begin in the summer of 2012, which is next summer. A byproduct of any construction project, especially ones of this magnitude, is some impact or disruption to normal business operations for those businesses that are located adjacent to or in proximity of the construction activity. It's also likely that the businesses that are maybe most impacted are those that are in the retail or service-related industries. So as we looked at the alignment for the proposed extension, we noticed that a good percentage of the alignment is located within the City of Mesa electric service area. And therefore, a lot of the businesses that we anticipate will feel some disruption are also City of Mesa electric utility customers. And lastly, the Mesa NEDCO applied and was awarded Community Development Block Grant funds, or CDBG funds, to provide technical assistance to those businesses that would be impacted by the construction activity to help mitigate some of the impact. So with that, in summary, the opportunity for the partnership was created through a combination of several factors. So with that, I'll turn over to Frank.
Good morning again. So Shay talked about the possible impacts of the project on our service area and customers in our service area. And the map there shows the proximity
and alignment of the light rail system and where it goes through our electric service area. So this is a unique opportunity for us to reach out to NEDCO, and then for us as a collaborative to reach out to our customers to help possibly minimize the impact of the program, of the project on our customers. The health of our customers is very important to the electric utility, and so we feel like if there's a way that the city's electric utility can reach out and partner with NEDCO and the Economic Development Department and supplement other business assistance programs during this construction period, then that's a good project for us to do. So we've discussed this with Chris. We've presented some ideas to him, and this is the proposal we'll have. We'll talk more about the details later, but you can see that it's a very good program for our electric service area to reach out to these customers and provide some support.
The 3.5 mile
Excuse me, Frank.
Yes, sir.
On your map, you have power station locations. Those are the light rail.
Those are the power stations that will be providing the electricity to the locomotive force for the trains.
Right. Okay, that's what I want to make sure of. And those aren't actually, when you say power stations, there's not a big factory with smokestacks.
They're not power plants where we generate electricity. It's the where we bring distributed power into the system, and then it becomes converted to the usage that Metro needs for the light rail system.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's
Councilman Richens.
It's the box right near the corner of the park and ride, or what do they call it?
It's really not a box. It's like a small building.
Yeah, it's the small building there. That's kind of out towards the front.
It just looks right. I just want to make in my way. I'm trying to say what those are. It's like the one right there. Yeah, by Sycamore. Yeah. It's a small building. It's probably what size?
20 by 40.
I was going to say. Yeah, okay. I was going to say 20 by 38, but 20 by 40 will work.
Okay, so the 3.5 mile extension of light rail into Mesa's central business corridor is providing an unusual and unique opportunity for a public-private partnership to assist businesses affected by the 3-year construction period. The common goal of the City of Mesa and NEDCO is to retain those businesses that are along that line presently. From our research, we know that business owners reach out for support, and sometimes it's too late by the time they reach out to the technical assistance or the business support providers. Planning for reductions in revenue is essential for those businesses to be sustained, and Mesa's electric utility will fund an incentive measure administered by NEDCO to encourage and promote participation now in the business support program for light rail.
So just real quick, I'd like to mention before Terry gets into some of the detail about her program, this partnership and this project is part of a bigger overall picture of business assistance for businesses impacted by the light rail construction. This is one program. There will be a variety that will be provided to help mitigate some of the impact. So this is just one piece, albeit a very important piece, but just one piece of the overall puzzle.
And Frank is passing out the brochure that Metro has compiled with all the different business assistance programs for this extension.
That button right there.
Up top. I'm sorry. I'll just go ahead. Okay. The support program that NEDCO will offer to businesses along the extension begins with an agreement to participate between the businesses with NEDCO. Businesses may opt out, as you can see from the chart. That would be up in the red. But we believe that the utility rebate program will encourage participation, and that's where businesses would move on to the green section of the chart. Once the businesses agree to be an active NEDCO customer, assessments will be made from our team of consultants, and an agreed-upon work plan will be established with the businesses. Progress on the work plan will constitute eligibility in the rebate program. Businesses will either move on to the monthly workshop and industry-specific seminars, or they'll become a part of small group consulting, which could end up leading to one-on-one consulting depending on the individual business needs. We already know from dialogue with the restaurants in the service area that inventory control planning is a common need with the restaurants. And we're presently identifying a consultant to begin work with those restaurants immediately to help them through this phase and have a better business plan moving forward.
We know that having the utility department as a willing and able partner with the same vested interest in retaining the businesses is a unique construction mitigation offering that Mesa can provide for this light rail extension.
So if you just press that button, you'll go back to the slide. Yep. Go ahead. Thank you.
Businesses who will have ingress and egress issues that are, well, ingress and egress that's going to be impacted by the Main Street construction in the Mesa City Utility Service Area will be eligible for the rebate program only if they're enrolled in the NEDCO support program and they're actively participating in our program. So, you know, supporting their business with business planning, financial planning, some budgeting. If they're actively participating and kind of moving along, then they'll be eligible for this rebate program because we believe that's going to help impact the revenues decreases.
Councilmember Higgins?
Terry, is there, do you have like an actual matrix so they know what things are expected in order to get the rebate?
Yes. Each one of the businesses will have a business, a work plan that they'll have to kind of move through. And at least monthly, the businesses will be either meeting in a small group setting or individually with the consultants to track where they are in the work plan.
So
probably change the work plan as we go. As you know, businesses, I mean, always have to kind of change their business plans depending on the market. And so we will, you know, be kind of tweaking things as we go, the consultants will.
So maybe different depending on what kind of business it is.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yes. Thanks.
Me? Yep. I don't know that I realized we kind of changed the slides last night. I didn't realize this one was mine, too.
That's fine. The Mesa Electric Utility will be providing the funding for the incentive, and the funds will be put, logistically, we're not sure exactly how this will play out, but essentially the funds will be put into an account that NEDCO will administer. Those funds on NEDCO's behalf will be, you know, the for those eligible businesses, and as long as they're remaining active in NEDCO's program, NEDCO will administer the rebate or the incentive back to the city on behalf of those customers. So that's kind of logistically how the program will play out.
So the proposal is still in a conceptual development stage, is I think a good way to put it. So we're clearly wanting to get some feedback and direction from the council. And also, Terry's group is going to be reaching out to their potential constituents to get input from them on the design and development of the program. But here's what we've laid out so far. And we continue to evaluate the design of the program and make sure we get as much bang for the buck as possible. Our current assessment indicates there's about 175 or so of our 270 commercial customers that are along the alignment that we want to target for this program. And again, the eligibility for the rebate will be tied to their participation and completion in NEDCO's programs. The first year budget is proposed to be about $150,000. Spreading that $150,000 amongst the 175 customers, if we just spread it simply that way, is about $850 a year of a rebate towards their annual bill. There's different ways of designing the rebate. We can base it upon a percentage of the bill. We can fix it as a part of for each course or element of the program that they complete, they get a rebate. Or we can just do a simple cents per kilowatt hour on the bill. It's 1 penny per kilowatt hour off your bill. So those are the types of options that we're looking at. To kind of put it into perspective, we're thinking we want to focus the rebate to the summer months of July, August, and September. That's when customers' consumption goes out. It increases by about 33% when you go from, it goes up about 60% from a winter month to one of those three summer months. And so that's really when customers are most stressed because of the increased consumption and electric bill and also the decrease in their business activity. So we really think that's the appropriate time frame within which to provide the rebate to the customers. So we continue to evaluate the program and analyze the customers and the budgeting and the design of the rebate program. And so I really appreciate the collaboration that Terry and Shay have brought together to this program, and especially the leadership of Chris in developing it at this stage.
So, Mayor and Council, just quickly, you know, Frank came to me and was talking about in his discussions about what could the electric utility get more involved in kind of economic development and growing their base of customers. But as we thought about it, as much as it's important to attract new customers into the service area, which we want to continue to do, we're embarking upon a significant project that really creates the priority to retain our customers, our commercial base within the city. And we know it's going to be difficult. There's going to be some challenges ahead. And so I think the electric utility recognizes that retaining their customers, their commercial customers, through the term of the project is very important to them as an enterprise as it is obviously for the city overall. And so we worked hard, and you can tell we're still working kind of on the concept, but I think what we want to make sure council's comfortable with is the idea that the electric utility operating as an enterprise and trying to retain active existing commercial businesses would contribute towards a program that would help them kind of bridge through these challenging times. And I appreciate Terry with NEDCO, because we were looking for, you know, in the electric utility itself, we really didn't have the tools or to do that, but, you know, Shay's come in from economic development to give that perspective. But I think this is a good alliance that we can come together. Terry's already spent a lot of time and herself going out and talking to the businesses ahead of time. So this is not, we're already kind of getting a feel for their needs and letting them kind of share with them the information. We're just struggling because we want to really try to do whatever we can that's appropriate that the city can do to help our businesses. Because we believe that once they make it through this construction with light rail, there are better days ahead, even better than today. And if we can get them past that point, we think we have a great opportunity to really see some new opportunities and see growth, hopefully, and some stability in our existing commercial base. So this is kind of where the program is. I think we've got a good foundation for it. We may need to refine it a little bit. Some of that will come most likely as we continue to talk with the commercial entities and find out what works best for them. But we want to have that flexibility, too. I don't want this to be too stuck in too many boxes, because I think we have to have some flexibility to meet the needs. We have to be consistent and reasonable, but I think we have to be flexible to make sure these businesses, I mean, if you look at the types of businesses up and down Main Street, it's quite a variety, from commercial national bank branches to, you know, a single, you know, mom and pop kind of operation that are just on the very edge, you know, probably living, you know, day to day on getting their business done. And we want to be able to adjust and compensate for each one of those situations.
Councilman Kavanaugh.
Thank you. This question is for Debbie. There are certain organizations in town, such as the Goldwater Institute, that are critical of communities for providing incentives or working with the private sector on programs like this. And I'm, from my own analysis, I don't see a program like this as an economic development incentive type program is running afoul of the state constitutional provision dealing with, gifts or loans of credit of public institutions to private individuals. But have you and your staff thought about and looked at this program to make sure that that we are meeting a public purpose and that we satisfy the guidelines that the courts and legislature have set out for instances like this?
Councilmember Kavanaugh, I was actually just sending an email asking if this had come to our office for that review. I'm not aware of the program.
We have discussed this with the utilities attorney on a conceptual basis, and we've also kind of modeled the approach after the economic development rate that we already have established for electric customers. So we feel like we've addressed that issue before, and so this is a modification to that approach. But if we can demonstrate that there's economic development benefits to the city as a result of the retention of the customers and possibly even expansion of the customers, then it would satisfy any concerns about those types of legal.
Well, doesn't that the process in itself recognize the fact that the construction, which is our construction project, is having an adverse effect on those property owners?
Yes, Mayor, and I think the fact that this is the enterprise fund is a little different also.
It's having an adverse effect on their customers, and therefore this, we talk about economic development. This actually is recognizing the fact that we're trying to help them through a rough spot that happens with construction, And I don't think it creates a legal liability for us, but it certainly, from an enterprise fund standpoint, creates a business, a smart business move to help your customers through an adverse situation that the related entity has helped to create through the construction.
I would agree with you, Mayor, and I think there are certainly arguments that can be made. I'm just not sure that the legal department has reviewed it for the gift clause issue. But I think there's, as the mayor said, because it's an enterprise fund instead of just...
Yeah, I wouldn't waste too much time on a gift clause thing. I mean, this is... Come on.
We'll look. We'll look.
I mean, I get it, but let's not over-lawyer it. Let them come after it if they want to, because this would... Spur on. Forget it. I'm not going to say anymore. I'll get in trouble.
Yeah,
Dennis goes, yes, you will.
Well,
thank you, Counselor.
Two things. One on that topic, you know, the Phoenix Light Rail development, they had all sorts of stuff. I'm sure we could look at them, what they did. But what I want to say is I think this is a really amazing opportunity to help existing businesses that may not really think they need help get help and just make them stronger and more viable for the future of downtown Mesa. So I'm excited. You know, sometimes you think you're doing fine until someone sits down and says, hey, look what you could be doing. Oh, that's a good idea. So I'm excited. I think this is a great program with great people at the lead. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Finter.
Just a quick question. Electric utility at this enterprise, how much does that generate annually? A gross amount. Sorry to hit you with that. I know you know.
Our gross revenues are about... $34 million a year.
Right.
The transfer to the general fund is established at $6 million a year.
Okay.
Our net income is a couple million dollars over and above that general fund
transfer.
Which is plowed back, that 2 million is plowed back into the utility.
Yeah, it's retained in the enterprise funds, and we're able to do things like this, perhaps, with those retained funds.
Right. And I only ask those in comparison to the amount of money that we're talking about. When you look at the business attraction, the business assistance, we're looking at future customers as that light rail goes through. I think it makes common sense. You know, it's pretty common sense to me, and a very positive, kind of a unique tool, something different. People, we are challenged every week by folks out in the community that ask their elected leaders to look at something different for business generation and jobs and others. And so I see this as a real positive tool and the right way to go. So I appreciate your efforts.
I do too, and I echo what's been said. I think this is a creative way to help soften the blow, which we know is going to happen. You know, we cannot eliminate the negative impact of construction. That's what the price of progress. And as Mr. Brady said, the good thing is that after this is done, I think that everyone will benefit far more than the costs that are being incurred. But there is a cost. And we know that, especially with small businesses, that cost can be significant simply because, not in a dollar amount, but in a timing amount. You know, this is a month-to-month type of proposition for many of these businesses, and if we can help them. I'm going to sort of like commit heresy here. Are you sure this is enough? I mean, I appreciate trying to limit it, but I also want to make sure that don't have a program that, you know, takes a fly swatter on a, what is the thing, fly swatter to an elephant, whatever it is.
So, Mayor, I think that's a fair question. Let us go through the process with Terry and identify the needs out there.
Because, you know, I look at $850 a year, and granted that's put into the summer months, but you know, for some of these businesses, that's just not going to get them where they. That's not going to be adequate. So I don't know what the amount is, but on an individual business, or I don't know how many will actually qualify or want to participate. But I just want to make sure that we're really truly making a difference if that's what our intent is.
To kind of put it into perspective, the $150,000 in a year equates to a little bit more than 10% of the bills for those 175 customers.
Okay.
So when I mentioned the 33%, that's if we focus that $150,000 during those 3 months of July, August, and September when their bills go up 60%.
But let's just make sure that as we analyze that we can...
Other opportunities.
We're really, if we're out to help and help them bridge this gap, let's make sure that's what we accomplish.
And we may... It may be that there are other enterprises on the water and wastewater side that same thing applies. We need to keep them in business. So if we need to supplement it, maybe we have other opportunities
okay.
to do that.
Councilman Richens.
And if you're going to look at the budget cap for the overall program, you might look at the per customer cap as well, because you know that $2,500 or $800 would be significant to my favorite barber, Mickey's Barbershop on Main Street, mm-hmm. but it may be much less significant to Central Arizona Supply just off of Extension in Maine.
Sure.
I mean, so maybe we need to look at the percentage of their overall bill and what that particular customer right. would cap out at.
At the end of the day, our goal is
yeah.
to do the best we can
yeah,
to retain all the
let's
businesses,
meet the goal.
Right? So we'll, I think that's what we're struggling with. Though the formula, we want to be fairly consistent, but we hear the message, and I think you're right. I mean, we need to scale it, but we also need to make sure it's
and once
meaningful.
Again, let's make sure this is not the only program, as Shea
no,
said, that's
I mean,
out there.
Metro's
Metro has a complete program that also can help businesses get through the interruption that we're going to create with this construction. So this is just another piece, and the other piece of the puzzle will come through Metro through their process. This is a nice brochure, and the great thing about this that I feel comfortable with and is that Metro had the experience in building the first 21 miles, and they learned a lot. They did some great things, and they had some colossal screw-ups, and they'll say that. And that's good, because Metro learned from those mess-ups, and I think as we heard from businesses themselves along the later phases of the line, they did an incredible job in adjusting their business assistance and how they interacted with those businesses that were affected in the later phases, because they learned from what went wrong in the first phases. And I think I feel much more confident that they'll be able to apply what they learned in those programs to our line, because you know we have those testimonials from businesses who said, listen, they stepped up and they helped me, and I appreciate that. So this is just another piece of that puzzle. Councilman Richens? Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing how this goes. It's pretty exciting. Okay. Acknowledge receipt of minutes of boards and committees. Have a motion from the Vice Mayor, a second Councilman Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Hear reports on meetings or conferences attended.
Went to a council meeting on Monday.
Good. I would ask Councilman Richens the conferences he attended while out of town, but that we'll save that for another day. I had the opportunity. Yeah, go ahead.
I was in Washington, D.C. last week and had the opportunity to meet with staff of Representative Schweikert to discuss the light rail program and encourage them to make sure that our budget allocation that's been put in the president's budget for Mesa's light rail extension remains in there. And we discussed several ways that Representative Schweikert could support Mesa in making sure that those funds were allocated to match the significant local funds that are put towards this project, both from the city and from the Proposition 400 fund. So,
and in conversations we've had just recently with the Federal Transit Administration, so far, you know, knock on wood, cross your fingers, whatever, through the House at least, it's you know, things are looking fairly good, but it can change. We're not there yet, but we're not gone yet either.
Right, that's why that congressional leadership from our local representatives is such an important component to this happening. And you know, it'd be important for Representative Flake also to jump on board the train here and help us out if we can.
Well, I think the important thing is to remember this is not a federal program. That the local funds, which are voter approved, this light rail is a voter driven project. And it was approved in Prop 400, and those funds are there, and they're local funds with the federal government providing the minority of the funds, and so it'd be good if that would go through. Speaking of Representative Schweikert, I had the opportunity last night to participate with him in a town hall. Great turnout. We had some very interesting guests mid my speech. They were there to try to interrupt Representative Schweikert's speech, but for some reason, I guess they got tired of waiting, and they came in and interrupted my speech. And
no,
yes,
you wouldn't dare do that.
I know. Well, the people in the audience were grateful for that, because you know, woke a few of them up that had fallen that I'd put to sleep.
Your assistant said you got in a fight.
I did not get in a fight.
That's what she said.
And thanks to our police department, our police officers were great in how they handled it. And, you know, like I said, democracy is interesting sometimes. And last night was an example. But we had a great back and forth and good questions from the audience. And Representative Schweikert did a good job of talking about the challenges with the federal budget. And how many people we have there? 100 maybe? 7,500. Yeah, 7,500.
That's the mayor. He rounds up. He rounds up.
Get close. Say, yep. Yeah, whatever, Mayor. but it was a good crowd, and we had a good turnout. So appreciate that, and appreciate Representative Schweikert of putting out the invitation. He invited me to participate in his town hall, so not the other way around.
Do a Twitter one.
Done that? Oh yeah.
No, with him.
That would be good. That's right. We had our Twitter town hall last Thursday. I forgot about that. Thank you very much for reminding me. And that was very successful. The interesting thing about a Twitter town hall is that the questions that are coming in are for everyone to see. So this was the great thing, because it goes into if you don't know Twitter, you attach a hashtag to it, a label to it, and everybody who's on Twitter can see the questions that have been submitted. So, you know, they were just raw questions that came through. And we got a chance to answer almost all of them, ran out of time. Several came in the last few minutes. How many questions did we cover? Yeah, and I was, you know, not wanting to run out. I was answering the questions real quickly and at first, and then Steve writes in the background going, shh, shh, shh. And you know how challenged I am. You know how challenged I am in stretching answers out. Yeah, it was a real tough one. Stretch, stretch. So I started giving longer answers, and then next thing I know, they're saying short, short. More questions are coming in. No, but it really worked out well. It was an interesting dynamic. For those people submitted questions via Twitter real time, and then we would put them up on the screen, and then I would answer them on Channel 11. And then we'd also tweet out summaries of the questions. But it was an interesting process. So, yeah, Councilmember Kavanaugh.
And are you going to be able to give suggestions to Mayor Tibshirini?
We're not going to go there.
Oh, okay,
we're not going to go there. But I'm sure he learned a lot from watching our First in Arizona town hall. Okay, thank you very much. Anything else? Have an exec. Oh, Ms. Crocker, do you have any requests to speak?
No request, ma'am.
Mr. Brady, you want to give the schedule of meetings and general information?
Sure. On Monday, October 3rd, there'll be, preceding the council meeting, there'll be a Sustainability and Transportation Committee meeting at 3:30. And then, of course, we'll have our council meeting study session beginning at 5:15. There is also a Mesa Central Plan open house from 2 to 8 p.m. at the Arizona Museum for Youth. And that'll be, I think that's today, actually. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think that's right. That's today, sorry. And then this evening, Councilwoman Higgins is being honored by the Fresh Start Women's Foundation. And so they'll be recognizing her as an outstanding woman in the community. So we look forward to that.
Which we could have told them long ago that was the case.
Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. One thing I forgot on the events is that yesterday we had, as a council, the opportunity to attend the kickoff luncheon for the Mesa United Way. And just a congratulations to the Boeing Company, a major important part of our community, for receiving the Spirit of Mesa Award for organizations. So that was a great event. And in these tough times, our agencies are really struggling. So however you give, whether it's through United Way, and I hope you, United Way, we have a great United Way in Mesa, or directly or however, our agencies who do such a good job in picking up the slack and filling the gaps in need in our community need your help. So it's a real challenge for them. So that was great. Okay, we have a motion from Councilmember Kavanaugh, second from Councilmember Finner, entering executive session. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're moving into executive session. Thank you very much.